Gog and Magog and prophecy on this edition of Key Life.
This is Key Life with Steve Brown, a program designed to make a positive difference in your daily life. Now open your Bible and let's go to it. Steve?
Thanks, Mike. And I hope you had a great weekend, as good as mine. And I hope your pastor's sermon ministered to you the way my pastor's sermon ministered to me. If you guys have your Bible, open it to Ezekiel. If you're not in a place where you have a Bible or can get to one, just trust that I will be reading it properly. We're in the middle of we're heading toward the barn. I mean, we just only have a few more books left, but we're looking at the books of the Old Testament, each of them, and spending 2, 3, 4 weeks in each of the books of the Old Testament. And we're up to the book of the prophet Ezekiel. We've taken the time to look at the exegetical notes. And what I'm doing and what I've been doing for the last week or two is simply being a tour director as we go through the book of Ezekiel. And I'm picking about different texts and pointing out certain wonderful sights within this book that will be meaningful to you. It's my prayer and it's my hope that as a result of this Old Testament survey that you'll be able to dip into that part of God's Word with understanding and with great blessing to your life, because we miss so much when we're not familiar with the Older Testament. It's our practice on Mondays before we study the book to go before the throne. Let's do that. Father, we're glad we belong to you. We remember what it was like before you came. We remember the loneliness, the guilt that we felt, and we asked the people we had offended to forgive us, but we still felt guilty. And then we realized when you came that it was against you and you only that we had sinned. Father, we remember what it was like to not have any meaning and no reason to live and to just drift, and then you came. And Father, we remember that time. We remember when the reality and the truth dawned on us, when we knew the truth that you were there and that you loved us and that you'd never be angry and that you called us to yourself. We praise you and we worship you for that. But Father, if you had not come, you're still God and you're still worthy of our worship, and we gladly give it. Father, you know the people who listen to this broadcast. Father, sometimes I read their letters and stuff, and I think, oh, Lord, could you do something? You know those who are going through a divorce. You know those who are going through awful times of condemnation and guilt. You know those who are having family problems, those with physical or financial problems. You know it all, Father. Sometimes we feel so inadequate, and we are, and then we remember that you are sufficient for every need, and so meet us. Father, meet us at the point of our need. Don't withdraw your spirit from us. Keep us trucking until we get home. And Father, remind us occasionally about home, when there'll be no more tears and no more pain, and we'll gather around the throne and look at the light. Father, as we go through this week of broadcast, we pray for the one who teaches. Forgive him his sins, for they are many. We would see Jesus and him only. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you were listening last week, especially on Friday, I took the time to look at the most famous passage in the book of Ezekiel, and that's the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, and that's the vision of the dry bones. We talked about revival, and when you get little enough and weak enough, then God's power comes. And when it's really dark, and it really is a dark in the context of postmodernity, a postmodern culture where no values are seen as absolute and God is not seen as important, when those kinds of things happen, that's not bad, that's good, because a little light will do in a really dark place. And we spent some time talking about revival, but I need to say one more thing about the 37th chapter, and not only the vision of the dry bones, but the second half of the 37th chapter has to do with the sign of the two sticks. Now, I'm not going to talk about that. You can read it for yourself. My daddy used to say, when I would ask what a certain word meant, look it up in the dictionary. I'm not going to do your work for you. Now, I wouldn't be that harsh with you, but you ought to read the second part of the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. It's a great passage. But one of the things that I need to say about the 37th chapter of Ezekiel is that you move at this chapter into a place where there is prophecy, where Ezekiel is not only looking at tomorrow or the next day, but from our perspective, we see that Ezekiel is talking about a long, long time into the future. And that's the time when God will gather his people from all over the world, the diaspora, and he will bring them back home. Now, there's something supernatural about the late 40s and the founding of the nation of Israel. I remember when I was a young pastor and was fancied myself being quite an intellectual and was reading Burkhoff's Systematic Theology. And then I read what he said about Israel, that the prophecies were all to be taken not literally. They applied to Christians. We were to allegorize them. We were to make them not absolute prophecies that had to do with Israel, because Jesus had come, knew Israel was important, and that was us. And there's truth to that, by the way. I respect Burkhoff's Systematic Theology a lot, but he didn't say anything about 48. He didn't say anything about what had happened with the founding of the modern nation of Israel. Nothing was mentioned about that, and I thought, how can he just avoid that? And then I looked at the date in the book, and it was written before that. Because before that, everybody said, this is not going to happen. I mean, Jews are everywhere else, and they're permeating the peoples around the world, and they're a blessing and all that sort of stuff. But then God did his thing. He called his people home. The statement that is made at every Seder meal, at every Jewish household in the world at Passover, next year Jerusalem, became a reality. A reality so astounding that it left all of us breathless. And I believe that when you read the Valley of the Dry Bones, it has a lot to say to all of us about our own lives, about weakness and power, God's power and weakness, about how God looks at his covenant people and he brings renewal and awakening and revival when we need it. And you can't engineer that. I mean, you can't make it happen. You can fast until you're so skinny you look like a zipper. You can fast until you turn sideways and disappear, and God won't bring awakening because you were so spiritual. God looks at his people, and when it's time, it's time, and he brings awakening. And I personally believe that we're on the verge of that in America. But you need to know I'm no prophet, nor a son of the prophet, and I do not know for sure, but I'll tell you something. God, when it's time, will come, and he will renew his people, and you can hang your hat on that. Well, as you move into the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, Ezekiel is beginning to talk about what's going to happen in the ancient future. Now, he gets a little bit more clear about the ancient future. What am I saying? I'm doing the best I can. It's the microphone. There's no ancient future. It's either future or it's ancient. And I talk for a living. That's what I do. But as you move into the 38th chapter, you're looking really into the future, and it becomes really clear. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog and the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, Meshesh, Tubal, the prophecy against him. You say, wait, what's this Gog and Magog stuff? Now if you're into prophecy, you can get into... You can get into some details, and I'm not going to do that, because that's not my ministry. When I said hi to you at the beginning of the broadcast, I told you about everything that I know about prophecy. But I know what people say about prophecy, and when we get into Daniel, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this. Who's Gog and who's Magog? Well, we don't know, to be perfectly honest with you. There were no nations named Gog or Magog around at the time. There was a word, G-A-G-A-I-A, which meant the general pagan barbarians, and Magog just simply means the land and the people of Gog. And then there are a lot of prophecy teachers who say that Rosh is Russia. But, you know, some things have happened since they were saying they don't say that so much anymore. So we're not really sure. But I'll tell you something. This passage shows the ultimate defeat at the grand battle. And you find some more about it in Revelation 19, 17 through 18. In Revelation 19, you find about Armageddon, Megiddo, the great ultimate battle that will take place when finally the score is settled. When things are finally worked out. Almost all of prophecy points to a time, and God's going to bless between that time, a final time when things really come to a head, and somebody pushes the button on a real shooting match, and there's a and I've been there, I've walked the fields in that area where Armageddon is going to take place. And when I was there, I closed my eyes, and I thought, oh, man, something bad's going to happen here. It's coming down. Now, I know that. I know that because of Ezekiel 38. Gog and Magog represent that final battle of Armageddon. And you say, well, for somebody that doesn't know anything about prophecy, you sure talk a lot. I know. And I really don't know when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen exactly the way everybody says it's going to happen. But I'll tell you something. In the end, God's going to take the history book, close the last page, and put a sign over it. And the sign is all you need to know about prophecy. God wins. You think about that. Amen. Hey, listen, if you haven't written for the Genesis Esther first booklet of a three-booklet series on the Old Testament, I'd love to send it to you. It comes from the teaching that we're doing. And don't ask for the other two. They're not even we don't even have them. They're not finished yet. But the staff is putting this together. You'll find it helpful. Just ask for the Old Testament survey booklet. And as long as supplies last, we'll send it to you free. You can get it by writing Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Or Canada, Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org. Or one of the easiest ways is just to pick up the phone and call 1-800-KEY-LIFE and ask for the Old Testament survey booklet number 1. We'll send it to you free, and I really mean that. Hey, listen, if you could help us financially, man, this would be such a good turn. So few people are able to help us financially, and this becomes a very expensive ministry. So if you're to be a champion, pray about it. I promise we'll be faithful with your gift. And you can charge on a MasterCard, Visa, Discover card. For any gift of any size, I'll send you as my thank you when you request it, the cassette Facets of God's Love. Gotta go. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.